burn these sheets we're under. Written by Silent Walrus. Read by Opal Song. Fandom, Full Metal Alchemist. Rating, mature. Relationship, Edward Elric, Roy Mustang. Also tagged for Ed's turn to get his ass kicked by the fact that other people have feelings. And discussions of attempted suicide. Part 18 of Caveat Emptor.
I've been reading books of old, the legends and the myths, Achilles and his gold, Achilles and his gifts, and Spider-Man's control, and Batman with his fist. And clearly I don't see myself upon that list. But she said, where'd you wanna go? How much you wanna risk? I'm not looking for somebody with some superhuman gifts, some superhero, some fairy tale bliss, just something I can turn to, somebody I can kiss. I want something just like this.
Ed presses his hand down over his collarbones, trying to flatten away the after-echoes of Mustang's touch. He wants to say he has no idea what the fuck just happened, but that's not true. Mustang all but spelled it out for him. It doesn't feel real. It doesn't feel right. Mustang has a 2-week think and decides, hey, why not give Ed a spin after all? During their last conversation on the subject, he'd been pretty clear his feelings regarding Ed's were not flattery. Ed had gotten used to wanting Mustang. It hadn't exactly been comfortable, but it had been familiar. And then Mustang upended it with his love charade, and now here he is, dangling the real thing in front of Ed's face. There's that feeling again. The conviction that this is a mask for something else. Just another lever for Mustang to get at what he really wants. And sure, Mustang denied it when Ed asked, but the bastard's lied point blank to his face before. The food's still on the table, and it feels like even more of a manipulation, suddenly, beyond just getting Ed to let Mustang into the apartment. Ed knows he's got a feel for people, and Mustang's always got an ulterior motive. He hasn't done a single fucking thing straight in all the time Ed's known him, so why would this be any different? But Ed's most personal, and in a way longest, assumption about Mustang turned out to be wrong. Faulty data. It's undeniable that Mustang really hadn't known how he felt. And what would getting with Ed for real even get him? Ed's Jingyi's connections might be royal, but they're not leverageable. Not on any scale Mustang's working on. The most Ed's got is his alchemy. And Mustang never wanted him for that. He brought Ed in, got the credit for finding him, and then didn't give a dead rat's balls what Ed did after. He didn't care when Ed spent over a year in Jing either. Which Ai Chung had asked Ed an al about. If they needed to be careful and go back more often, to prevent interested parties from assuming they'd sold themselves to another government and taking steps to reaffirm their Amstrian loyalty. And the part of Ed that says, well, he just knew that if he whistled, you'd come running anyway, recently got a significant paradigm adjustment vis-a-vis what exactly it is that Mustang knew. Can he really trust how he feels right now? What if Mustang means it? Ed knows what teacher said, but Mustang's not into Ed the same way Ed's into him. It's just fact. They're not standing in the same place. Mustang, wanting to try it, made some scabby little bit inside Ed flop up and down like a suffocating rabbit. But the rest of him is very much aware that he's been made no promises. Mustang is a practical man. If Ed goes all in on this, only for the wheels to come off, it doesn't work, they fight more than fuck, Mustang gets bored 2 months in, whatever. To get given what he really wants, only to be politely returned like an ill-fitting sweater, that'd be bad. Mustang's never rejected him. Anything Ed's wanted, Mustang has helped him get, from bail to his limbs to his brother. But if Ed gives over the softest inner parts of him, puts the last outstanding bits of himself into Mustang's hands, only for that to be what tips the scales and makes Mustang draw a line, it would hurt. It's already left a dent, frankly. Ed's barely been able to keep a lid on everything so far, and they both have tempers as it is. He's not so sure he's going to be so successful at resolving to maintain the friendship regardless afterwards, if Mustang ditches him. And Mustang's second in line to the presidency now under emergency succession. And no matter what kind of circling he does, that's not going to change. He's aiming to take over the country, whether or not he uses the presidency to do it. What's Ed going to fucking be in this scenario? Miss Amstress? And that's all apart from Diane. What's Ed gonna fucking say there? Stop seeing sex workers? Take out all your fucked up kinks on me instead? But Mustang wants to try it. And Mustang's a schemer and a bastard, and he wouldn't want this if he didn't think he could win. The fact that he's propositioning Ed means he's already run all the numbers on how this might play out. And those numbers come up Mustang. Ed saw that little flick of triumph in his eyes when he'd reached out for Ed. Like a shark fin there and gone. That core bit of Mustang coming through. I already know exactly what's going to happen. And it's all going to happen for me. He thinks that it could work. He thinks that they could make it work. After all, Mustang told him what his position was regarding the whole Full Metal thing. There's a nice, neat way to slot Ed back into things. No problem at all. And he can't imagine Mustang would have thought he'd get to go gallivanting around with hookers if he wants to keep Ed as his partner. So he must have taken it as read that whatever's going on with Diane will stop if Ed says yes. And isn't Ed already taking on national projects himself? Or was all that talk about earthquakes on his ass and the mud just bunk? What was his library trip today for? Getting all those structural geology books? Hadn't he decided he'd be backing Mustang anyway in the inevitable bid for president? Hadn't he decided he was gonna love Mustang anyway, even if he didn't get loved back? How do you know something will work if you don't test it? How can you get anything done if you let yourself be afraid? He feels that thing again tightening inside him, a magnetic coil of feeling, a white heat that he knows is too much to touch, so all he can do is just be aware of it, kept in the corner of his vision. If there's no resistance, then the current in him will earth itself without recourse. And when he wants something this bad, he has a track record. If Mustang opens this door and then decides he wants to close it, then there won't be a door. Ed knows it for what it is. For him, it's never just possessiveness. It's possession. Mine beyond reason. He can't even let the dead go. So he can't rush in. Not on this. Isn't that what everyone's always telling him? If there's a reason, a real reason that he shouldn't go for it, he needs to know what it is. Can I talk to you? He asks when Hawkeye opens the door. Ed opens his mouth to say more, Chowder eagerly sniffing at Hayate at her feet. But then again, Hawkeye's not looking back at him surprised, or even particularly inquiring. He might not need to explain. Did Mustang talk to you? Then another more immediate thought strikes. Wait, did you know about my thing? No, Hawkeye says, taking the leash off the coat hooks by the door. But he did talk to me. Northside or Park? They go to the park, stopping by one of the street carts to pick up mint tea. When the vendor offers Ed his usual corn stick and he shakes his head, his stomach zipped up tight, this makes Hawkeye and the vendor both give him identical concerned looks, bordering on alarmed. So Ed picks up the honey jar and dumps a triple ration into his tea, which seems to mollify them somewhat. Even if Hawkeye now looks like she thinks she should maybe buy him some benzos or something. That bad? She asks as they step off the paved trails and into the double-gated entrance to the dog park. Ed lets out a breath. No, I don't know. Well, Hawkeye says, in a braced sort of way, closing the gate behind them and opening the one ahead to send Chowder and Hayate rocketing forward. What did he say?
He asked me out, Ed says, feeling like a 5-year-old turfing a week's dead turtle out of a toy fishing net. But, well, it is what happened. And I... Look, is something going on? You know, if you need me involved in some shit, you can just tell me, right? He said he'd just tell me too, but... Ed doesn't actually want to turn this into a rant on the times Mustang decided to lie or just straight up not answer. But luckily it's Hawkeye he's talking to, and she doesn't need him to finish his sentence.
You think he's not being honest? She says as they sit down on one of the dog run benches. Ed opens his arms in a kind of frustrating half-shrug. Isn't this some kind of 180? Like, it's not like I expected him to throw a party when I brought it up, but he was not thrilled to find out I was into him. I really didn't expect him to come back with, hey, let's get together after all. Hawkeye makes a, well, you have a point, face, adjusting the fit of the cheap lid on the even cheaper paper cup of her tea.
He was quite upset when he spoke to me, she allows.
Ed snorts. He was pissed, all right.
No, upset, Hawkeye says steadily.
Ed gives her a sidelong look. What for? Hawkeye considers him for a moment.
What did you tell him?
Ed recounts the conversation for her in its entirety. Why not at this point? And Hawkeye listens to him dissect his dead turtle like she's going to take a lab exam on it later.
So what you said to him, she concludes, in short, was that you like sleeping with people who hurt you and that he isn't special.
What? Ed opens his mouth, plays it back, and shuts his mouth. Shit.
Hawkeye takes a sip of tea that declines comment.
That's not what I meant, Ed says, half peeved, half plaintive.
No, Hawkeye agrees. But given the available facts...
Ed presses his hands together, elbows on his knees, thumbnails to his teeth. Shit.
Well, Hawkeye says, consideringly, I have to admit I was expecting...
She trails off a bit, then gives him a half-wry, half-apologetic look.
He does have somewhat of a history of reacting when you surprise him, so I did think that he'd been the one to say something inadvisable. But it sounds like there's been some miscommunication.
That's one way to put it. Teacher was goddamn right. Fuck. No fucking wonder Mustang got all annoyed and told him to take his horny elsewhere. That's what he heard.
I didn't realize. Ed stares straight ahead in a kind of horrified hush. Hurt his feelings. Shit. I didn't know that was possible.
It usually isn't, Hawkeye says frankly. And I don't know that you hurt his feelings so much as knocked the lid off some other things that were already there. And it does seem like he got to what you did mean on his own by the time he came to us.
She glances at Ed. You going to turn him down?
There's no edge to the question. She seems genuinely interested, genuinely concerned. And there had been an edge to Hawkeye before. In prior years, everyone could see it. That's why the oldest rumor in Central is how Mustang's fucking his sniper. And Hawkeye's not a good actor. She can blank herself like a room full of bricks, but she can't really build anything new in its place. And Ed can't imagine she doesn't have a stake in this, no matter how you slice it. But she's done what he's been trying to do, he realizes. Transmuted her feelings. Put the anchor chain in her hands instead of around her throat. Between Mustang and her, something has changed. Ed digs his thumb into his palm, splinted hand aching. Can I ask you a question? Hawkeye raises her eyebrows slightly, expectant. Why aren't you and Mustang together? She doesn't look at all surprised. What did he tell you? Ed makes himself stop picking at his splint. He said that you two weren't doing that because of what you are for each other. He realizes what he's asking for, how it could mean, and adds, look, it's not my business. I'm not looking for details or nothing. I just, you're my friend, and we all know the situation here is kind of complicated, and I don't want to make a bad decision for anyone. Hawkeye's looking out at the park, too, her eyebrows drawn slightly together like she's thinking. Distant.
Did Alphonse tell you about how the general killed Lust?
Ed blinks.
Yes?
Did he tell you that was when I tried to kill myself?
Ed stares at her. He realizes his mouth is hanging open.
You...
She told me Roy was dead. I believed her. I tried to kill her, too, but when it didn't work, I gave up.
Hawkeye takes a staid sip of tea. If it weren't for your brother stepping in, I would have been killed. And I fought him. I told him to let me die.
Ed tries to have an expression that isn't horror. Al hadn't told him this at all.
The general was furious with me after. Hawkeye continues. Rightfully so. The point of a team is that nothing hinges on you alone. If you die, your comrades can carry on. They must be able to carry on.
She looks away from the park, back to Ed. It opened my eyes, she says. I hadn't realized how much I was using Roy's goals as a crutch, a lifeline. That I didn't have anything outside the lifeline. That I had made myself a weak link.
She gives a little shrug. Not defeated, but a what can you do in there nevertheless.
My perspective on things changed quite a bit after that. There's a difference between dedication and dependency, and I couldn't stay on the right side of the line. The work is bigger than us, and we have to be able to keep going if the other can't. If the work dies when we do, then what have we really accomplished? We needed to build out, to bring other people in.
So, if you're asking if it's a problem to see you with him, then no, I'm glad for it.
She isn't smiling, but her eyes aren't cold or hurt on him, just serious.
You aren't taking anything away from either of us. The opposite.
Are you all right? Ed has to ask. Because fuck Mustang for a second. Hawkeye tried to die.
You know, if you want to talk or anything, I'd be here.
Things are much better now,
Hawkeye says with some amusement, which Ed, with his dead turtles and toy fishing nets, has to admit is warranted. I would have gotten help otherwise, and it's much easier to identify now that I know how to look. And it was never a... what's the term? Active attempt? That's true. And Al would have told Ed if he thought Hawkeye needed help. He'd yelled at Ed, too, come to think of it, during that scar thing. And it's not like Ed was trying to kill himself there, either. He's not suicidal. He just hadn't been able to see a way out. Not in that moment, anyway. Which, well, he supposes Hawkeye hadn't either. I guess that makes sense, Ed says slowly. Why you wouldn't want to get even more serious with Mustang. Hawkeye smiles a bit. You and Alphonse never got sick of each other, traveling and working and sparring together all the time? No, Ed says honestly. I mean, I never did. We'd fight and all and split off and do our own stuff sometimes, but... Maybe it's different with siblings, Hawkeye allows. I was an only child, and it was just me and my father up north. You know Drekschlock? Ed nods. Trapper, furrier country. Too rocky for even the logging camps. I was homeschooled because there weren't enough people in the district for there to even be regional schools. I suppose I'm used to having my own space, my privacy. And the general and I, we work together, very closely, and likely will for the rest of our days. And work, well, work already comes home enough with us. She half smiles again. We don't have much distance as it is. You love him, though, Ed dares, fighting the urge to look down at the ground. It doesn't matter if you're fraternizing or not. You're already... And I managed my duty despite it, Hawkeye says calmly. But I don't think it's wrong to want it to be a little easier. And it would be easier, Ed can finish silently, if she weren't so bound up in him. At first, I thought that I don't deserve it to be easier, she goes on more quietly. That by my own actions, this is what I must bear. But then I learned that doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is whether I can do it or not. Whether I can see the problem in time or not. She looks down at her cup, shrugs, takes another drink. I don't want to put a gun to his head again, and for that I must have clear eyes. Ed looks away. It's really fucked up to ask someone to kill you, even if they're doing it for good reasons. Ed's not sure he's ever been as mad as that second he realized what Hohenheim was offering, telling Ed to take his life for Al's. Mad as in mad, as in madness, something unrecoverable. He's not at all shocked Hawkeye's plan was to kill herself after ending Mustang. Come to think of it, he doesn't know that's not the reason Hawkeye said no fucking way to a romance with Mustang. If Hohenheim hadn't died his way out of parenting anyway, Ed doesn't know if he could have ever again called him his father. You don't resent him? Ed says quietly. A squirrel scrambles in the tree overhead, leaves shaking. Hawkeye watches it drop from branch to branch, tracking its passage down. I don't want to. Ed turns to also watch the squirrel. Yeah. That answers it, really. It's not wrong to want that to be easier, too. We have slept together, you know, Hawkeye remarks, so matter-of-factly that it takes Ed a second to parse what she's actually saying. It was, illuminating. Really? Ed says. Not high-pitched at all. How so? Well, Hawkeye says. Then pauses for long enough that it is, in fact, illuminating. Ed stares at her in a brand new kind of horror. That bad? Hawkeye pulls kind of a weird face, like she wants to laugh but also rescue herself from the conversation. The circumstances weren't ideal, she allows, but not like someone who has any conviction that other circumstances would make any difference, and is not making any plans to test any related hypothesis. But it was somewhat of a relief, to tell you the truth, to find out it was a mistake and not a tease. That's, Ed says, still not the slightest bit shrill. One way to look at it? Yup. Hawkeye looks at him sidelong. We got lucky, she says amusedly. Wouldn't it be worse to have had a taste of something you want very badly and then not be able to have it? It's better to find out the flavor isn't for you after all. I'm glad for him, you know, she adds, and for you. With you, he has someone with him at parties. You're with him at parties too, Ed points out. Not by choice, Hawkeye counters. I don't like crowds. I hate dancing. Talking for hours makes me violent. I don't enjoy being stared at. She says the last with surprising force. Enough so that across the dog run, Chatter and Hayate both skid to a halt, ears perked in her direction. She notices and quirks a smile at Ed, gesturing a shoo for the dogs. Why do you think he never sends me to anything but military liaison functions? He doesn't want me to be miserable. Oh, Ed says. Because it's true. She's not with them at every event. Not even at most events. Only the ones where Mustang's in uniform, where his whole retinue of aides and guards and staff is along. But he needs someone to do what you're doing. Hawkeye concludes. One way or another, someone has to be filling that role. And you like it. You like him. She toasts him with her tea. If it helps, you can think of it as helping him not marry Alex Armstrong. Ed, automatically having clinked his cup to hers, sprays his consequent mouthful across several yards of mulch. Yeah? He's got to get married eventually, Hawkeye says in a reasonable voice. The Armstrongs are allies already, some closer than others, and the women all think he's a non-starter, and Alex is a good man, she adds mildly, thumping Ed on the back as he splutters and hacks into his knees. An alchemist, even. Blonde. You were doing this on purpose, Ed chokes, glaring up at her from the side, eyes streaming. Hawkeye grins, an expression not usually found outside live fire scenarios. You're both taking this too seriously, she says innocently. That's all right. Alex takes things very seriously, too. Stop! Ed wheezes, half to Hawkeye and half to Chowder, who's just galloped up to him and started ecstatically trying to lick his face clean. I'll talk to him, all right? I'm gonna... Chowder, stop it! Talk to him! I'm gonna sort it out! Chowder tires of his denials and just jumps him completely, knocking him sideways off the bench, which is perhaps the best mercy kill a discussion like this could ask for. Hawkeye helps him up. Hayate sits and disapproves of Chowder's youthful harlotry from a distance. And Ed means it. He and Mustang have to talk. Ed's gotta apologize, maybe, and make himself clear. That's the priority, he tells himself, and the immediate roller coaster swoop in his stomach. He's got to ask about Mustang's plans, got to ask about Diane. He's not making any decisions yet. He's wound himself up so far about this, his goddamn feet have left the ground. He's done making assumptions. But there's a lightness now that there wasn't before. Hawkeye thinks it could work too. Even if Mustang is bad at sex. Oh boy. the end. Author's notes. Ed, I need to talk to you about something. It's kind of awkward. Risa, well, the last time was about how I've perpetrated genocide, so I'm honestly not sure we can do worse. Ed, great point. So, does Mustang's dick taste like candy, or... The music used for this podfic is Something Just Like This by the Chainsmokers and Coldplay. If you enjoyed this podfic, you can leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. And from there, you can find a link to the podfic. And from there, you can find a link to the text post. Thanks for listening.